We were sitting there this morning, and Brother Udell said, "I don't know where half the choir is at. Looks like half of them are gone." I said, "Did you tell them I was coming?" He said, "No, but I'm going to find out who did." How many of you, this is your first time to ever see me? All right. Woo! About three quarters of this place. Well, to you, I pity you if it's your first time. For the ones who have seen and heard me before, you get what you deserve. You knew better. But it is a privilege to be here today. Let me tell you very quickly, I bring you greetings from the 41 Southern Baptist Churches up in Troup County, Georgia, where I serve as their associational missionary. Let me tell you something that you'll learn about me very quickly. I preach about three things. I preach about the Lord, I preach about the Bible, and I preach about 45 minutes. So just get ready for that. Boy, I got a whole hour, because y'all don't get out to 12, do you? I tell you what, I'm not like Brother Udell Addison. Brother Udell Addison is what I call a helicopter preacher. How many of you know what a helicopter preacher is? Helicopter preacher is one of them who just announces text, take off, go straight up, hit cruising altitude, stay there till he's through, come straight back down. I ain't one of them kind of preachers. I'm a 747 preacher. It takes a lot of runway to get it up. We don't cruise there too long, and it takes a lot of runway to land it. So you just pray with me today. And I'll promise you today that if you'll listen fast, I'll promise to try to preach fast. How about that? And please, don't get through listening before I get through preaching. Okay? John chapter 4, verses 31 through 42. And while you're turning there, John chapter 4, verses 31 through 42, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I don't do a lot of things right. Some of you probably know that. I don't have a command of the Queen's language. How many of you figured that out already? Yeah. I don't. By the way, for all y'all that said your first time to see me a while ago, have you made your mind up yet? Do you like me or not? You know, because in the first two or three minutes, you're going to determine whether you like somebody. I hope you like me. But I never had a command of the Queen's language. I use terms like ain't, and ain't never gonna, and fixin' to. Amen. I was preaching one night, and my wife, who is my best critic, after the service was over, got me in the car and said, "Do you realize that you used a triple negative in your sermon tonight?" I looked at her and I said, "How many do most folks use?" And she said, "One." And I said, "All right, and your baby strung three of them together." She said, "No, Aaron," said, "you don't understand. That's not a good thing." But let me tell you this. Although the Lord has never blessed me with a command of the Queen's language, He has always blessed me with congregations that did not know the difference. Can I get a witness? Amen. If you would, please stand for the reading of the text scripture. John chapter 4, verses 31 through 42. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, "Master, eat." But He said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought Him aught to eat?" Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet four months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans were coming to Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, For we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I want to try to bring this message to you this morning. I've entitled it, The Unreaped Field. The Unreaped Field. Pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in this place this day. I ask, Lord, now for that anointing that comes only from you, Lord, to do this thing in life that I know that you've called me to do, Lord, to preach your blessed gospel. I pray, Father, that you'd just anoint me, Lord, and hide me in your favor, Lord. I pray, God, you'd anoint us as listeners that we might hear, we might receive, and that we might act upon that which you send today. I pray, Lord, if there be one person in this place who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that this would be the day that you would speak to their heart, they would surrender and follow you, and, Lord, become your child. And Father, I pray for those who may have grown cold and indifferent, those who are seeking answers to life's questions, Lord, those who are standing in the crossroad and don't know which way to go. I pray, Father, for a word for them today, Lord. And Father, I pray for this church as a whole, Lord, for revival. I pray, Lord, you let these next few days be a life-altering, life-changing time for this church, Lord. God, just have your way now, and I ask these things in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. Today you will recognize the text scripture I've read as part of the story of the woman at the well. From this, I want to focus on Jesus' conversation with his disciples and try to preach a sermon that would challenge you to rise to the occasion concerning the unique opportunities and challenges God is presenting to you right now as a church. As a church and as individual members of this church, you are called to labor in a unique field. Nobody else can reap your field. This is your field. Amen. And by the way, I like for you to talk to me. Amen. Amens are appropriate. I know you and L. Addison to know that well enough. Amen. If it hits, say amen. Amen. If it hits somebody else, say amen. And I won't know the difference. Amen. Listen. We are to gather the harvest that God intends for us to have at this church. Now there are three things that we must realize about the harvest. Number one, it is a precisely timed harvest. It must be reaped when it's time to reap. Number two, it is a personal harvest. And number three, it was a profitable harvest for those who reaped. And let me tell you, it ain't often that my points start with the same letter. So y'all are blessed beyond measure today. Precisely timed, personal harvest, profitable harvest. Point number one, it is a precisely timed harvest. Verse 35, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." Jesus teaches his disciples that they must harvest when the harvest is ready. Amen? Amen? Not at the traditional time of harvest. Notice I said the traditional time of harvest. You know, there's one thing more powerful than the Word of God. How many of you know that? How many of you know there's one thing that Jesus or the Lord teaches us that's more powerful than the Word of God? Y'all not going to bite on that, are you? Well, there is. Jesus said, "By the vain traditions of men, you made the Word of God of none effect." That's Bible, folks. Our vain traditions sets aside the power of the Word of God. Now, let me tell you something. We think we have to do everything when it's traditional time to do it. I'm here to tell you this morning, you reap when God wants you to reap, or you don't reap at all. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Amen. Evidently, this was around December when he was speaking to them. And Jesus told them, said, "You look at this field, and you say that there'll be 4 months before the harvest comes." He said, "But I'm telling you something, there's a harvest that's ripe, ready, right now. If you don't reap it right now, you'll lose it forever." And of course we know that Jesus was not speaking of a physical harvest, rather a spiritual harvest of souls that was about to come up from the seed he had planted in the life of the little Samaritan woman. He said, boys, there's a revival on the way. We got to reap. Now listen, when wheat ripens, it reaches a point where it becomes what they call dead ripe. Dead ripe. I mean, it can't get any more ripe than what it is. But when something, the danger of something becoming dead ripe, of allowing it to come that far without harvesting it, is at the moment it becomes dead ripe, that if any breeze stirs, if there's any rubbing of the two sheaves together, then this will cause the pod to burst open and the seed will spill on the ground and the harvest is forever lost. Let me tell you something, in 30 plus years of pastoring churches and working with the Lord, Brother Udale, I've run into a lot of dead ripe Christians. You know why I knew they were dead ripe? Cause any little stirring in the church would cause them to bust open and they lost everything they had. Somebody ought to say amen right there. You know what? In 30 years of pastoring churches, I've had a lot of blessed subtractions. How many of you know what a blessed subtraction is? That's, honey, that's when you see them going. Amen. They come up to you and say, well, Brother, you damn, I'm just going to go down to Brother So-and-so's church and attend. You want to say, God bless you. Go bless him a while. I've had all your blessings. I'm staying. I'm telling the truth, ain't it, brother? Amen. You know, preachers are a sarcastic bunch. Sometimes they'll call you on Monday morning, they'll say, or even meet you at the prayer meeting, they'll say, was you missing any of your members yesterday? You know what they're really trying to tell you is, some of your members were visiting my church. You know what I got to the point I'd do with them, Brother Udale? I said, I don't know. Tell me who it is. And they would tell me who it was. And I'd tell them, oh no, I'm not missing them at all. In fact, I got some more just like them. I'll send you. Amen. It ain't always a bad thing to see somebody leaving. I got to tell this, and I can't get on this rabbit too far, but I was pastoring a church, up preaching one Sunday morning. Holy Ghost was hot in the place. Piano on that side, organ on that side. Y'all probably heard me tell this before. All of a sudden, I began to smell something burning. I knew it was hot in there, but I didn't know it was that hot, Brother Udale. And it smelled like an electric fire. And I finally, that odor got so pungent, I just stopped my sermon where I was at and I said, do y'all smell that? Now, yeah, we smell it, preacher. I said, well, my Lord, somebody get up and go find it for it. The church burns down. Several of the deacons got up, went hunting, couldn't find it. Come back. We can't find nothing, preacher. So I started back in my sermon that got hot and heavy again, and all of a sudden over on the left-hand side, the beautiful Hammond organ fried its brains. I mean, it gave up the ghost. It was sending up smoke signals. I felt like the Holy Spirit had failed, Brother Udale. I thought, it missed me and hit the organ. Well, y'all know what that necessitated when the organ burned up, don't you? In a Baptist church, a committee. Amen. We had to have a committee to see about replacing the organ. Well, lo and behold, about halfway through that their work, they decided, well, just maybe we want a keyboard instead of a Hammond organ. So they presented. Business meeting, we're discussing it back and forth, and somebody asked what I thought to be a very intelligent question. If you're going to vote on whether to have a keyboard or not, they said, what does a keyboard sound like? Boy, isn't that an intelligent question? I thought it was. Back on the right hand back of the church, about three quarters of the way back over against the wall, a couple
spoke up as if they had rehearsed it, as if it was the planned thing, and they just both blurted out, rock and roll music. They left. Blessed subtraction. I can't stay there. Amen. The problem in many churches, though, is today that we want to harvest in our time instead of in God's timing. Too many times we have the Burger King mentality. And I look at here, and now some of y'all, most of y'all, a lot of y'all are old enough to remember this little jingle. This is the way we want it in churches, where we'll say, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. Lord, all we ask is that you let us have it our way. Yeah. Amen. We want to reap our time in our way, and instead of God's time and in His way. We must realize that now is the time to harvest. I'm in Baptist churches all the time. I deal with 14,000 of them just like you up in Troup County, Georgia. You know what I find to be the biggest thing, the biggest problem among most Baptists? Is we want to get a distorted firing range mentality. How many of you knows what happens when you go to the firing range? What's the three little words they use? They'll say, ready, aim, fire. Now let me tell you how Baptists have distorted that. They go, ready, aim, 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 and we never pull the trigger. You want to blow some deacon's mind, brother, you down? Or some committee member's mind? Just do it this way one time. Ready, fire, aim. Most Baptists can't handle that. And I are a Baptist, so I can talk about us. Amen. But let me tell you also, it's a personal harvest. It's precisely timed. We got to reap when God says reap. But also it's a personal harvest. He said, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eye a little field, for they are white already to harvest. The command to the disciples was for them to what? Lift up their eyes. Personally, they had to personally see the harvest. Too many times we think the harvest is for the preacher. The harvest is for the deacons. The harvest is for the soloist. The harvest is for the Sunday school teacher. Surely the harvest couldn't involve me. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We must see the harvest. And I'm going to tell you something that's hard to see if you aren't looking. That ought to got an amen. Amen. We must see our talent that God wants us to use. You got to see your talent. You know, this fellow, young man right here that leads the singing, he never would be up here singing unless one day he caught a vision of God wants him to lead some singing. I promise you, Brother Udell wouldn't be preaching unless one day he got a vision that God wanted him to preach. I don't understand why God called me to preach yet. I really don't. That's going to be one of the great mysteries revealed in heaven. But I'm not going to stop there. Amen. You get through hearing me preach and you'll be wondering also. Amen. But I want to ask you, are you using your talent? Are you using your talent? If not, what are you waiting on? Do it. Do it. Well, preacher, nobody asked me to use my talent. I'm asking you right now. Yes. Use it. Yes. Amen. If you don't use it, you lose it. Amen. Hallelujah. But don't wait on the pastor to design the program for you. Amen. It's your talent. It's your calling. It's your burden from God. And therefore, it's your responsibility. Amen. Do it. Ready? Aim, fire. Do it. Church is not doing what you want to see it do. God's calling you to do the thing that you're wanting to see it do. He might want you to head it up. He might want you to be the chairman of that committee. Hello? Well, no, Brother Rich, I ain't into that. You might be going to get into it. Amen. And let me tell you something. It's not the pastor's job to do all these things that you come up with. Well, Brother Udell, I think the church needs to be doing this. You know what Brother Udell wants to say? He won't say this, but I will. He wants to, because I'm the evangelist and I can do that. I ain't got to live with you. You know what Brother Udell wants to tell you? If you want to see the church doing this, here's the ball, run with it, head it up, do it. Don't expect me to come up with a way to do it, though. What else do you want me to tell them? Oh, amen. Woo! His job is to preach the word and to shepherd the sheep. Now, if God's leading you to do something, you come talk to Him about it, and when the two of you get in an agreement, go do it, honey. Go do it. Jesus told them to look on the field. When we look at the field and not at what everybody else is doing, we'll get a burden for the work. The work is not inside these four walls. The work's out in the field. Old black preacher friend I like to listen to, Dr. Sampson, gave this illustration. He said he was raised in the city. Said, but he had a grandparent who lived out on the country and ran a farm, a dairy type farm. He said he remembered being 6-7 years old, that his parents sent him for a week with the grandparents in the country. He said he was laying there in his bed sleeping, enjoying it, and all of a sudden, grandpa come and said, get up, boy. Get up, boy. It's time to eat. Got time to go do the chores. And then we're going to come in and eat. Said he got up before daylight, went out there and done the chores, and then he come in and sat down, and grandma had fixed one of them great big old country breakfast. He said, well, maybe this won't be so bad at all. Said, you get up early, do your chores, and then you come eat a big breakfast, and then you got all day to play. Said, after he got through eating, grandpa looked at him and said, come on, boy, it's time for us to go to work now. He said, I looked at Grandpa and said, excuse me, what have I been doing for the last 2 hours? What do you mean it's time to go to work now? Grandpa looked at him and said, son, you don't understand. He said, on the farm, anything you can do in the house and around the house are considered chores. He said, but son, when you're going to do the work, you have to go out into the field. For that is where the work is. It's out in the field. Let me tell you something. True Holy Ghost, God sent revival will waken us to the fact that the work is not in here. When we teach our Sunday school classes, we're just doing our chores. When we sing our solos, we're just doing our chores. When we preach our sermon, brother, we're just doing our chores. But if we want to do the work of the church, we got to get out in the field where a lost and dying world is going to hell in a handbasket and bring them in. Woo! Praise the Lord. I done about preached myself happy, son. Amen. The work is in the field. We got to catch a vision of the harvest. We must endeavor to get outside the church and into our communities and our streets and our homes in this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now there's three reasons our field is unreaped. One, the field goes unreaped because we fail to see. Jesus refocused the disciples' vision. Now I want to read another part of the scripture, Mark 8, 22 through 25. And he come to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, how many of you would pay a doctor to do that for you? Spit on your eyes. Amen, brother. And put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, why did I say that? I said that to say this. Sometimes we need a second touch from God to come into focus to see clearly the field He wants us to reap. It ain't every time we get it in focus the first time. The disciples were out of focus. Honey, listen to me. They did not have a clue. They had to have been Baptist. Because Jesus was sitting at the well, winning a woman to Jesus, whom he knew would bring the whole town to him, and they're in town hunting something to eat. Going to have a fellowship at the well. Amen. Baptists use the word fellowship because it's a real nice word for pig out. Amen. I submit to you today that he had to refocus their vision upon what was important. He said, boys, you're looking at an old earthen field. And you're saying 4 months in the harvest. Boys, you're looking at the wrong field and expecting the wrong harvest. He said, I've just planted a seed in a little woman's life. She's gone to town. And boys, look up. Look up, boy. Refocus. There comes your harvest. And it ain't in 4 months. It's now. It's right now. Woo! I don't even need to stay there, do I, Brother Udam? I know y'all have had a miraculous move of God here. I know that. I'm not ignorant of that fact. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what the biggest danger is after a great move of God? Is for great complacency to set in. We've got there. We've arrived. Well, Brother Udale, when we get to 500 more in here, then we'll do this. And when the offering goes up another $10,000 a month, we'll do this. And honey, I'm going to tell you something. There's some dead ripe pods in your field that if you don't reap them now, you'll lose them forever. Some folks don't have the opportunity or the nicety of being able to wait. We've lost our focus on our mission. About 350 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. Now listen to this. See if you see your church in here. The first year, they established a town site. The next year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government planned to build a road 5 miles west from the town into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the people tried to impeach their town government because they thought that it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. Who needed to go there anyway was their thought. Here were people, now listen to me, who had the vision to get in a boat and sail 3,000 miles across an ocean and overcome obstacles to a land that they didn't even know about. But after they'd got there, they'd landed, they'd made their settlement. But in a few years, they were not even able to see 5 miles down the road. Oh, God help us, church. Y'all help me just a little bit, and I'll preach right here. We come and we establish our territories. We build our monuments and our buildings. We put in our carpet and our baby grand pianos, and we have our comfortable pews with choirs and sound system and chandeliers. But if we're not careful, there'll come a time when the preacher will say, we need to do ministry this way, and we'll want to impeach the preacher because we don't see a need for that in our church. Wow, help me. Somebody say, you Baptist died in the wool. Just ain't a dead one. They'd lost their vision. They'd got out of focus. Church, this ain't hitting us, is it? How many of y'all are thinking about somebody right now? And you said, I sure wish they was here to hear this. I got news for you. I love you, but I ain't preaching to them. I'm preaching to you. How many of you still like me now? Oh, never mind. Don't answer. Max Lucado tells of the story of Clovis Chapel, a minister from a century back who used to tell the story of two paddle boats that got in a race going down the Mississippi River. He said they left Memphis about the same time, traveling down the Mississippi River to New Orleans. They traveled side by side. Sailors from one vessel began to make a few remarks about the snail's pace that the other vessel was traveling at. Words were exchanged. Challenges were made. And the two boats began to race. And it was a vicious race as the two boats raced through the deep sound. One boat began to fall behind because it didn't have enough fuel. Oh, there had been plenty of fuel for them to make the trip at a regular speed, but when they were racing, they had wasted all their fuel. And as the boat began to drop back, an enterprising young sailor began to discover that if he would throw the cargo into the boiler, into the fire, that that wood would burn just as good as coal, and they could keep their steam up and win the race. So they began to fuel their boat with the cargo they were hauling. Are you getting this? They ended up winning the race, but they didn't have any cargo when they got there. Let me tell you something. Church, God has entrusted to us a precious cargo. It is the precious message that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And let me tell you and let me warn you that unless we squander that cargo on our race, we best learn to focus on what's truly important. Now, let me tell you something. As a visiting evangelist, I've been very impressed with you this morning. You got good singing. Somebody say amen. Amen. You got nice facilities. Somebody say amen. You got, I'm looking at your bulletin. You got wonderful programs going on. Well, what a program. Senior, all y'all, y'all got it going on. Amen. And got a wonderful preacher. Amen. Amen. But let me warn you this morning. Let me refocus. Your harvest is not these buildings. And it's not these programs. Your harvest is seeing lost souls won to Jesus. Please never forget that. Please never forget that. Oh, hallelujah. Our field is unreaped because we fail to pray for God to send laborers into the harvest. Matthew 9:37-38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let me tell you something very boldly this morning. I believe most likely under the sound of my voice, there are those that God has brought you to this place. Somebody help me a minute. And you're visiting in this place, and you've been here for a while, and you're kind of feeling everything out, and you're kind of sitting back, and maybe you're saying something like this. Well, you know, the last church I was in, I got my feelings hurt. I don't know whether I want to join up with them folks or not, because they might hurt my feelings. I'm going to tell you something. You just best not join if that's the case, because there's some yahoo in here that'll hurt your feelings. Amen. Hey, but if you're hunting a place to work for the Lord and are more interested in seeing the harvest reap than you are about your little old feelings, you might want to consider joining up here. Because they need laborers. They need folks to come into the harvest. Amen. I'm about to get out of my introduction. Amen. We pray, God save the lost. When in reality, we should be praying, God send laborers into the vineyard. We pray for God to burden the hearts of those who quit attending church, to bring them back to church. When in reality, we should be praying, God send laborers into this harvest. We pray for God to meet our financial needs. Hello. And we should be praying, God send laborers into this harvest. We pray for God to send Holy Ghost revival, when in reality we should be praying, God send laborers into this harvest. And when the laborers get to laboring, you can't stop revival. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you point blank, God's leading you to this church, you ain't going to be happy nowhere else. Might as well join here. But if God's not leading you here, please don't come, because you'll be miserable and you'll make everybody else miserable. Amen. Amen. That didn't cost you nothing. Third thing, our field is unreaped because we failed to go. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things wheresoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. We're praying for God to send somebody else to do the labor, when in reality we should be saying what Isaiah said when God asked him who would go. Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then, O Isaiah, he said, then said I, here am I. Send me. Send me. Let me tell you a personal story. And I got to go quick. But this, we got to vote, and I'm going to get a little political. We got to vote coming up on marriage in November the 2nd. I was heavily involved in the lobbying of that thing to get it on the ballot. Heavily involved. And I remember very distinctly one day when I read that my representative was voting the wrong way on that thing, sitting in my office, Brother Udale, and I said, God, somebody needs to do something about this. The Lord spoke back to me very distinctly and clearly, and he said, yes, you do. And I said, God, you misunderstood. I said, somebody needs to do something about this, not me. The Lord said, no, you misunderstood. I said, yes, you do. Don't we church members do that? Y'all having fun yet? I'm preaching my suave and sophisticated sermon this morning. Come back tonight and I'm going to preach my country sermon tonight. Amen. Glory. I tell you something. I tell you today that with the talent that you already have in this church and the talent God will provide as you need it, you can turn this area upside down for Jesus Christ. The only question. Now you can have real, genuine Holy Ghost revival if you'll get up and do it. The only question is, will you? Will you? Most Christians won't go into the field to reap because we're waiting on God to send us into a bigger field. Oh, Lord. Let me just quickly say, I've already called a tower and got clearance. I'm bringing this 747 in. Somebody say amen. Glory, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I haven't always been an associational missionary. Trust me when I tell you this. God played a cruel trick on the people of Troop County when He made me their associational missionary. I understand that. I haven't always pastored churches full time. I've always had a radio ministry that some of you know about, or internet, or revival ministry. You know what I cut my teeth on doing? Udale, you probably did the same thing. I cut my eye preaching teeth in cottage prayer meetings. It's going into somebody's home where there'd be four or five. You might have some instruments. You might not. And you just go to meeting for Jesus. And they said, boy, there's a stump. Pull her up and go at it, man. And you go at it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what. Udale, the further I've got into this thing, the more God's opened things up. Ooh, the more I long for those days again when God would just show up. My. I preached in jails, I preached in nursing homes. I know what it's like to do all that. So what are you saying, Brother Aaron? I'm saying this. God will never increase your field until you've been faithful with what He's given you to do, where He's given you to do it at.
Amen.
Amen. You got to learn how to bloom where God plants you. Somebody ought to say amen to that. I'm going to almost wind it up with this story. My wife loves for me to tell this story on blooming wherever God plants you. Some of you are holding out on God. You see, you're wanting a better field. And let me tell you something. Sometimes the field don't get no better. For many, many years, I was a bivocational pastor. One of the jobs I held, now this is going to tell you a lot about my character when I tell you this. I ran the lab for the sewage treatment plant in LaGrange, Georgia. What a wonderful job that was. But you know, now I'm going to give you a horticultural lesson or a botany or something, a scientific lesson here. I learned something there. Now, I've got to go real slow and articulate real well, because if I don't, I'll get in a mess. Amen. Some of y'all are getting that. Some of you get it on the way home. Amen. I learned that when you ingest certain seeds into your body, some of them the body does not digest. It just passes straight through. How many of you knew that? A few of you. Well, which sewage treatment plant you work at, brother? Excuse me. All right, amen. But you know what? I discovered that. You know how I discovered that? Let me tell you a little bit about how sewage treatment plants work. The sewage comes into the plant, and it comes into what they call a settling tank. And from that settling tank, the liquids are pumped one way, and what they call the sludge or the solids is pumped into what they call a big tank that they call a digester, where the biological degrading process continues. And when it reaches a certain point of biological degradation, then they pull it out on the sand drying beds. It's pumped out there where the sun dries the sludge, and when it dries, then it's hauled off. And that's how that process works. Now, how many of you right now know more today than you ever wanted to know about how sewage... Amen. Okay. Now, you say, why did you tell all that, brother? Well, get back to my little story. The tomato seed does not break down. So in the summertime, when they would pump that sludge out onto the drying beds, those tomato seeds that would happen to make it there were still intact. So guess what happens when you pull a tomato seed out in a bed of fertilizer and you put sunlight on it? Guess what happens? It begins to grow. What are you saying, Brother Aaron? I'm saying this. That little tomato seed didn't hold out for better working conditions. Hello? a better pastor. It didn't hold out for a better music program. It didn't hold out for bigger buildings. But you know what it did? It learned to bloom where God planted it.
Amen.
Now, church, are you getting this?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to be in the sludge bed. But honey, you learn how to bloom where God's planted you. You refocus on what your mission is. Your mission is to uplift the name of Jesus. And it doesn't matter what field He's got you in. Do what He's called you to do. Do what it is your nature to do. Now, I haven't finished that story. This is the part my wife loves. I never did this, but I have seen those tomato plants begin to grow. And honey, let me tell you something. You can imagine this. You know I'm telling the truth. These wasn't big boys. These wasn't better boy tomatoes. These was humongous boy tomatoes. The stalks of them plants, Brother Udell, be that big at the base. I'm 6'5" tall. They'd be over my head without any stakes on them. And I've seen some of them fellas, God help me, I'm telling the truth. I've seen some of them fellas in the middle of the summertime walk right out in the middle of them drying beds, pull one of them tomatoes, go down to the shop and make them a tomato sandwich and eat it. Something just ain't right about that, is it? How many of you will never look at tomatoes again the same? Now, why have I told you all that this morning? Bloom where God planted you. If God's planting you here, hello? If God's planting you here, quit worrying about what Sister Bertha better than you are saying. Just bloom.
Amen.
God's planted you here, quit worrying about what Brother Joe better than you are is thinking or saying. Just bloom where God's planted you. Do what God's called you to do.
Amen.
Amen. You see, because nobody else can do what you can do. Well, I got a blessing out of Thunderbolt singing this morning. I called him Sparky. He said that probably fits better. But you know what? Can't nobody else do what you can do. Amen. Got a blessing out of this other lady singing. Can't nobody sing like her. Boy, I done got a blessing out of my preaching this morning. Amen. It ain't often I preach and get a blessing out of my own preaching. Some of y'all can relate to that, can't you? So understand that, brother. I understand it. Let me tell you something, folks. This is where we're coming to this morning. Let me give you my final point very quickly. It was a profitable harvest. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and that he that reapeth may rejoice together. It's profitable.
Amen.
Profitable.
Amen.
Oh, how sad to go into heaven. And the Lord says, where are the fruits of the field that I sent you to reap? And you have to say, Lord, I waited until they were dead ripe. And when I began to try to harvest, the pods burst and were forever lost. And God will say, then you did not harvest when I told you to, but you did it your way. Now let me tell you something. God's been working on me for this sermon for about 3 weeks this morning. And you do with it as God would have you to do. But there may be some of you in this place today. Now, I ain't got to come back other than tomorrow night and Tuesday. I mean, tonight and Tuesday night. And Brother Udell may not even let me do that. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. Some of you may be sitting back a little puffed up. Say, well, Brother Udell didn't ask me to sing today. And he's asked her 4 times and hadn't asked me. And I can sing better than they can anyway. And I'm just a little miffed at the preacher. I got something real spiritual to say to you about that. You know what it is? Get a life and get a Brother Aaron, I'm just so hurt. I put the flowers in the church 3 months ago. And they were on Mama's grave a week earlier. Nobody said anything about it. Well, who did you do it for? Hello. Well, I'm just a little miff, preacher. Get over it. Get over it. Well, you don't know what they said to me, Brother Aaron. And I don't care what they said to you. If it ain't them hurting your feelings, it'll be somebody else hurting your feelings.
Amen.
Amen. If you wear your feelings on your sleeve or on your shoulder, somebody will knock them off, honey. Amen. I had a church member that made me a button one time and said, "Help, I'm preaching and I can't shut up." That's about where I am right now. I'm preaching and I can't shut up. Oh, Lord. You know these folks, I believe in every church, Brother Udell, that believes their spiritual gifts are to criticize, condemn, and complain. Amen. You've seen them. And they come up to you, they're the ones that come up to you on Sunday and say after the service, and say, "Preacher, I hate to be the one to tell you this. Preacher, there's sin in the church." And you want to look at it and say, "Yeah, you big gossip, I'm looking at it." Amen.
Amen.
Folks want to come up and say, "Brother Udell, that Brother Aaron was preaching this morning, and I heard somebody on this side say, 'Amen.' And I heard somebody on that side say, 'Hallelujah.' I said, 'Brother Udell, I looked at the order of service, and I didn't see on the order of service where somebody was supposed to say 'Amen' over there. I didn't see where anybody was supposed to say 'Hallelujah' over there. I even got Ethel to look at it, and Ethel couldn't find it either." "Preacher, we're afraid you're trying to take us Pentecostal." And they said, "Preacher, we don't want folks to think we're Pentecostal." And you know what Brother Udell wants to say? "Boy, I sure am talking good for you today, aren't I?" Brother Udell said, "Don't worry about it, honey. Nobody would ever make that mistake. They might mistake you for being dead, but not Pentecostal." Boom! Where God has planted you. Because there is a field that you've got to reap, church. And if you don't reap it, it may forever go unreaped. And how awful to be to go into eternity with souls crying out on your conscience, "I would be in heaven with you, but you chose not to reap the field where I was at." Church, my challenge to you in this revival is, let's remember what our focus is. And let's get refocused on it. And let's be back up and about the Father's business. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's been enough gospel preached this morning to save the whole world. Now is the time. Do it. Brother Udell.
Stand together. As Brother Gary comes to lead us in our song of invitation, listen. You say, "Preacher, you've been telling him some things." God's been telling him a lot of things this morning. It's time for you to bloom.
Amen.
It's time for you to quit being indecisive.
Amen.
The Bible says that that a double-minded man is unstable in his ways.
Amen, brother.
You won't ever be able to do anything or accomplish anything until you get where God wants you to be. I want to give you that opportunity this morning to make that decision. If you're here, you need to rededicate your life to God. I want you to come. If you're here and you're unsaved, if you were to die this morning, you wouldn't make it to heaven. Listen, we've got people ready to take their Bible and walk down here and meet you and take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. That you can leave this building today with all the confidence in God of knowing that you're saved to the uttermost. If you'll just come, they'll meet you here. If you're here and you say, "Preacher, I've been thinking about joining." What was it the preacher said about ready, aim? Don't you think it's time you made that decision? Well, preacher, I like it over there. You'll like it better if you become part of the flock. You'll like it much better. You'll feel like it's a part of you because you'll be an extension of this church family. And we need you. God give us a job to do here. And I'm trying my best to do the job that God called me to do. But I can't do it all. We need you. Will you obey God? Let's sing together.
Hymn number 316, Jesus is tenderly calling.